The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning, this is not an episode of Keep It Weird. It's something even better. You have just entered a crossover.
To Florida Mint on Florida Man with Greg, Wayne, Josh, Cameron, Lauren, and Ashley of Keep It Weird. And we are doing a super spicy collab.
Right on time. Super spicy collab.
It's so good.
That was subtext. Super spicy collab.
We have LA in the house, California in the house, Florida's in the house. Who else is in the house?
We're bi-coastal, baby.
Bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal.
We're hoping nobody else is in the house because they weren't invited. If they
No.
I had a bi-coastal girlfriend in high school. I didn't see her. Gosh. I didn't see her as much as I thought. That's all I'm saying.
Because she was always hanging out with that one girl on the softball team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Traveling on the softball team.
So we've had a pretty good week. It's super hot in California and hella hot here in
Florida. Too hot.
Yeah, it's really warmed up. I was enjoying our like 68, 70 degrees, and now it's real toasty.
Yeah, and I'm in the valley, which I don't know if you guys know what that means, but it's
we saw 10 times Clueless. Hotter. We know what the valley is.
Okay, yes.
Valley girl, you know it. Yeah, it's real hot in the valley.
It's too much.
We're dying. It's fine.
We're really excited about our third summer is rolling around. And
our third summer.
That's usually when things start to
slow down. Yeah,
poor Florida. Yeah, I don't understand why the news or like the weather people say it's 97 degrees, but it feels like 117. It is 117 then.
That is what it is.
It feels like that.
That's what it is.
Yeah. And I don't like my weather person saying it feels like this. Don't give me your opinion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't pay for your
opinion. You're in an air-conditioned studio.
Yeah, give me the facts.
But I don't pay you at all, actually.
No.
I don't know how I'm getting this deal. You're in a suit every morning. All I have to do is turn on my TV.
I know.
It's a pretty good deal, actually.
Yeah, but we want to, why don't we talk a little bit about Keep It Weird and your show.
Oh, gosh, that would be a good idea.
And what you guys do. Tell us all about.
Yeah.
What do you do?
We do a lot of things. No, we are Keep It Weird podcast. We are the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural,
creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between.
Basically, right?
That's what we tune in for. That's what we want to hear.
So basically, we started out, we were kind of the OG paranormal true crime cast. Like we were one of the first to combine the two. Now there are hundreds, but
a million.
We had to kind of switch it up. So now we do more, I guess we try and do more science-based stuff.
Okay,
like we've got a time travel episode coming up. We have interesting people come on the show. We had a human body episode where our guest was a eunuch.
Okay. Come on.
I don't know if you know what that means.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
That was interesting.
He was fascinating. Yes. And I was pregnant at the time, and so Lauren I got to share about
pregnant.
Those joys.
Yeah. So we kind of talk about like the weirdness of the human body, the weird stuff in nature. Mm-hmm. So we kind of steered away. We still do the paranormal stuff.
Of course.
We still go on paranormal investigations and hunt ghosts. But our podcast is kind of veered more towards science.
All things weird and with a little more research and investigation behind it.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. They no longer believe in the paranormal. They're strictly science.
Strictly science-based.
Science-based podcast.
We're now Keep It Science.
Keep It Science.
Keep It Science.
Doesn't have the same ring, but
I love it.
It doesn't.
It's honestly one of our favorite shows, and you guys are super cool, and it feels like long lost friends, but we are huge fans as well. So it's an honor to
well, it's mutual.
To hook up with the OG paranormal.
The OG pod.
True crime.
That's right. So, well, we love you guys. We're excited to be here.
You know what else I love, ladies?
I love
headlines.
I love ladies. That's what he was saying. Is that what you're saying?
He loves the ladies.
You know
ladies
what I love?
Ladies. Headlines.
It's semicolon.
I also love headlines,
though. So, Florida man posing as a cop does a traffic stop and pulls over a real cop.
Jesus.
I mean, aren't real cops posing as cops?
I think everyone's posing as cops.
Dropped that. Okay, I need to hear more.
I'm pro anti-cop over here.
So 35-year-old Barry Hastings Jr. Pulled over an off-duty officer. And when he pulled him over, he introduced himself. The off-duty cop, though, was asking for his credentials. Barry got a little antsy, you know, kept saying, if you need to call my office, you can do that. Actually, why don't you just follow me to the office? We'll go into the police department.
No, don't like that.
And so
that sounds like textbook for when you get pulled over by a cop. Yeah. They go, trust me, I'm a cop. Follow me.
Yeah, let,
follow exactly. Me. Yeah,
follow me in my house. I'll show you. I've got cop paraphernalia laying around.
I'll show you it.
He ended up fleeing the scene. Got a little antsy. The deputy kept pressing him for, questioning him. And
yeah, his interrogation skills were probably better honed, honed than the fake cop.
He definitely did better in the situation.
Nice. I just did Borat. Dang.
When he was eventually pulled over,
nice.
Deputies found a functional siren box.
Okay.
A CB
radio
and a whole light setup in Hastings' vehicle.
They
didn't find firearms or handcuffs.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
So he's not a serial killer. Because when you said his name, I was like, that's a serial killer name, right?
Barry Hastings Jr. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So he's cosplaying. That's what you say.
Yeah, I'm just basically.
Cosplaying. Yeah. I'm in character.
It didn't seem like he was going to take it that far. Like if he didn't have any.
Follow me to the convention center. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, that's what. What was his plan?
I'm in character.
What was his plan? I mean, like you said, you would think like somebody would do that.
Duh.
I guess so.
Yeah, just scare somebody with a
just
fake
like
ticket.
Give him a Walgreens receipt and be like $75, please.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's 4 feet long.
And don't rip over
sorry,
it.
It's a scarf.
He definitely wanted to just kind of maybe feel like some power or something. Pull somebody over and just got unlucky.
This is weird. Maybe he did it on a dare.
It's very strange.
I feel power like turn on a light switch. I'm like, and I'm like, look at that. Boom, baby.
Magic.
Science. He loves science jokes.
I love science. Y'all know.
Don't we all? Mm-hmm. We know.
Keep it
we
science. Get it.
We know all about science.
Keep it science. Always.
All right. So next headline. If you guys haven't heard, do you guys have iguanas in California?
No.
I don't think so.
As in like.
All of our lizards are very small.
They're teensy.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about Gila monsters? Y'all have Gila monsters?
Excuse me?
What are those?
I think it must be a Nevada thing. There was this book when I was a kid. And it was like one kid was coming to Florida. No, this is real. It starts with a G.
Okay.
One kid was coming to Florida. He was scared of alligators. One kid was going to Nevada, which I assume is close to California because it's not anywhere near Florida.
Rumor has it.
I know that. And they have Gila monsters. So I assumed it went into California somehow. But I guess not. I guess they stop at state line.
They do,
apparently,
yeah.
They obey
all the laws.
Just get a little baby Gila lizards.
So to clarify, you guys don't have iguanas.
No iguanas.
Negative.
Okay.
Or Gila monsters, for sure.
No.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. So we do have iguanas in South Florida running around basically like squirrels. I mean, they're everywhere.
It's disgusting.
That's amazing.
That was good.
They've become a real problem. And so the Florida Fish and Wildlife Department has allowed people to catch them or hunt them to take care of the pest problem. Well,
hunt?
They're a little too big to be like hunted like a game, right? And their tail pops off, I believe.
Well, this Florida man was hunting iguanas.
Uh-oh.
And instead of hitting an iguana on this shot, he accidentally hit a pool worker in the neighbor's yard.
Oh no.
Did he die?
He didn't kill him, did he?
No, he shot him in the leg.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Wait, what are you shooting iguana with?
Right.
He was shooting
another iguana.
Shotgun?
Usually.
Sawed-off shotgun.
Pellet gun, yeah, BB gun.
So he's such a bad shot that he missed an iguana and hit a human being?
Yeah, he was going for the iguana's head.
Bad.
They said that their preferred method for killing iguanas is a shot to the head. It's quick and humane.
Ugh.
Man.
But I don't know how you miss that bad where you shoot a person.
A person. Yeah.
Did the guy have it on his shoulder like a pet?
Right. Was he wearing the iguana?
And he's like, and the guy's like, sorry, it's my duty. There's an iguana. I'm taking it down.
I have to.
It's my duty.
You kind of wonder if there was even an iguana around. I mean, maybe it was just a pissed off neighbor.
Attempted murder.
I know. Yeah. Was it like attempted murder.
Case closed. We solved it.
Was it like a pool boy though? Or like a...
Yeah, it was a pool worker that got shot.
So he wasn't like swimming in like...
No. Yeah, but what if the pool worker was sleeping with the dude's wife? We don't know.
Exactly.
It was a revenge shot.
I think it's obvious. If there's a wife present, pool boy sleeping with him.
Right. Well, yeah, then exactly though, right. He said to the cops, I was actually trying to shoot an iguana. And then the cop said, I'm not really a cop. I just play one at the cosplay.
Way to bring it full circle.
Thank you so
full
much.
Full circle. That was beautiful.
I don't even get it. That's how deep it went.
I have
where I am.
A real quick uplifting story.
Yes, please.
Aww.
For 4th of July, Florida inmates spent their 4th of July comforting dogs at local animal shelters and cuddling with them during fireworks so they were not scared.
Come on.
Oh, so that is precious.
This happened in Brevard County. Basically, inmates that were part of like work programs that were able to go out and work, they were able to go to this shelter and comfort dogs, give them treats, cuddle with them, and pet them. And, you know, obviously it was to help the dogs with the fireworks. But also they were hoping that it would instill like a sense of purpose and compassion in the inmates as well.
That's really cool.
So it's a win-win for all.
Yeah.
Win-win.
I love that.
A win-win
for
all.
That's so cute.
I feel like we need that out here. But people just need to come over and cuddle and comfort us when there's an earthquake.
Yes, 100%.
But like
you want prisoners to come cuddle you. Okay.
We can send some Florida prisoners.
Brevard County prisoners.
Will you send me the Florida inmates, please?
Yes.
I need a cuddle.
I'd feel safe with them.
I know. These
earthquakes,
man. Because
I know that they don't mess around.
True.
That's right. That's so true.
They'll keep us safe.
We'll send a fake cop with real Florida inmates.
It's going to get deep.
That's exactly
to
what
to cuddle
need.
You
keep
with
going.
Iguanas.
Get an iguana
Thank
in that
so
story.
Got the iguanas. Cuddle you and iguana.
I love go. It. Do you guys feel like hooked on those headlines for sure?
I feel real hooked.
For sure. I feel super hooked. Semi confused, but hooked for sure.
I'm always confused. Been confused since middle school.
So we asked people to send in questions. That was a lot of fun. You guys sent in some great ones. And so unfortunately we can't do them all, but we can do a few. And Lauren and Josh, they are professional icebreakers.
Definitely.
Lauren went to school. Yeah. Where did you go to school for icebreaking?
Oh, the Arctic, right?
I went to the Arctic School for Icebreaking, actually.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
And then
I saw your diploma on the wall. That's why I said it, because I recognized my own diploma being the same frame.
Recognize the emblem.
We were just there different years, but we both went.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get it. We're on the same page.
Josh is ancient.
Thank you.
That's what I was trying to say.
I opened the school. Okay, so let's see. I'll let you go first. Obviously, that's the...
Me? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, and I like this because of where the person's from. I feel like it's fitting. The first question. I don't know if we put our questions in the same order. But okay. I will read the first one. Have you learned anything while researching the show that made you want to investigate yourself immediately?
Oof.
This is from Heidi in Long Beach, California.
Oh, hell yeah, Heidi.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, Long Beach, LBC.
Heidi. I recognize that.
What is that?
That's a Snoop Dogg song, right?
Yeah.
So,
I believe.
Something that made you want to investigate like immediately. What about you guys? What is that?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's...
Out of all your shows, I'm sure there's
like
something.
We've had a lot of these.
We have a lot. The one that comes to mind is one time I was researching some scary stories, some like haunted legends, unsolved murders that were in Southern Illinois. And I found one that was from my hometown Mm-mm. In 1975, it was a man named John Shakespeare. Oof. And I became so obsessed because this murder was bananas. Like, he was found, I won't get too graphic, but he was basically found like tied up in his basement and like shot in the head. And this was like a 60 something year old man. Oh gosh, I could get more graphic. I mean, it was intense. It was intense. And it's completely unsolved. Mm. And so I went down a rabbit hole and I researched. We actually ended up recording like a almost 3 hour long episode. Me Jeez, and my friend wow. from back home, Steven, who's a teacher. We went all in and we recorded this long Keep It Weird episode. I think we called it Shake It Up, Murder in the Midwest, yeah, I think is the full title.
Oh, that's cool.
And we basically just covered like all the different theories that we had on like who committed this crime, why they committed this crime. And it got crazy.
And I just have to give her props. Like, she did, her and Steven both did so much research.
Yeah.
They went deep on this investigation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's an amazing
episode. What number episode is that? So we can all.
That's a good question. And I have no idea.
You have no clue.
We can
but
post
it is
it
called
on,
Shake
we'll
It
Up, it
on
the
Murder
Instagrams.
In the Midwest.
Yeah.
Shake It Up.
Yes.
So do you guys ever feel like whenever you're doing research for something like that, investigating like an unsolved murder, for example, like, if the person's still out there, is that kind of spooky where you're like, okay, what if they like get upset that we're investigating,
yeah.
you know?
Oh my gosh. 100%.
Yeah, because we had people telling us like to stop looking into it, stop asking questions mm-hmm. about it. Cause there was stuff involved with like the police, like whether it was a cover up or whether we still don't know. Spoiler alert, there's no definitive answer at the end nice. Of the episode, but we literally had people who would be in contact with us. Like, we called the like local newspaper and they were totally supportive. And then as soon as we said, oh, by the way, we're also investigating this murder, it Oof. Was like no contact anymore. And oh, it goodness. Was it was very scary. And even my parents who still live in the town, they were like, hey, like, just be careful.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Don't like that?
Yeah.
No. So you're going to don't out. Get whacked.
Don't
yeah,
get whacked.
Once, once the first person's like, hey, you should stop. I'm like, okay, you're right.
All right.
Sounds like
right.
a great idea.
You're right.
Correct. It's, I'm out yeah. here.
That's a logical thing.
It's so much
thing.
Easier not to do stuff anyway. I'm just going to quit doing
I'm
stuff.
More, I'm better at not doing things than I am
than I am doing things. So. Yeah, for sure.
So exactly. That was Heidi from Long Beach, right?
Yeah.
Heidi, you're a blessing. Love you.
Do we want to also answer that?
Yeah. What about you guys?
We probably have some wisdom there.
Switch questions. Let's switch it up. Let's keep it lively.
Okay. How long does it take us to record an episode and how long do we research? That would be Wayne's department because Cameron and I usually come in here surprised that we're even recording. Yeah.
They just show
That's
up.
Like me with Ashley. I just show up and hope for the best. Like,
oh, today? We're going to do this today? Okay.
Oh, this
yeah, I'm
is
ready.
Today? Oh.
I'm ready today.
What's our topic?
I think all three of us, when it comes to the Florida Man on Florida Man show, we contribute differently as far as like research. I think I would say 2 or 3 hours a week just researching it. But then we get together and kind of hash out the episode before recording mm-hmm. and then just kind of press play and see what happens.
We really hone our funny skills, as you can tell. I mean, we're just a gaggle of laughs over here.
Oh, yeah.
We bounce jokes off of each other. But how about mm-hmm. you guys? Just take a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do, because I feel like we do such in-depth research
yeah.
and we do different kinds of research. We each mm-hmm. will kind of split up the categories of the topic mm-hmm. that we're working on. And so we each separately have to do like hours and hours, like
yeah.
kind of split up amongst the week. And then we, unlike you guys who know how to like reel it in and make mm-hmm. a good solid like 40 minute episode, we end up talking for mm-hmm. three and a half hours sometimes.
Yeah.
So it ends up being lots and lots of time.
Yeah. And it totally depends on the topic. But
sure.
we, you know, if we're talking about artificial intelligence, for example, we're not just talking about like what's going on in the world of AI today. We're also talking about like the future of AI. And then also, what does that mean sociologically? Like, how will we develop laws and mm-hmm. will they have rights? You know what
right.
I mean? So we go
sure.
into like
Full
the philosophical
dive.
Stuff. So yeah, we usually, our episodes are usually about 3 hours long and we usually split them and do like a part
into
one and
two
part
parts.
Two.
That's cool.
But research totally depends on the topic.
That's really cool.
We can barely stand to be in the same room together for over 30 minutes. So
Yeah, it's
kind that's of, why it's your kind episodes like, are so tight.
You keep them short.
Finish it up.
Yeah, we have to travel in separate vehicles when we go on the road. It's really
we stay out of fist distance from each other.
Yeah. Fist distance.
Oh, fist distance. For that reason.
So, Lauren, do you have another one?
I sure do.
Oof.
This one's intense, kind of. But, I mean, it's a great question. What advice would you give to someone who is struggling to make genuine friendships in a new city? That's Nicole from Nashville.
Hello, Nicole from Nashville.
As someone who is not good at making friends, I'm going to take a step back and let y'all answer.
I feel like you have to join clubs.
A club.
Yeah, because sure. I feel like if you're not making friends Hell's at your Angels. Job, that's like yep. the obvious. Yeah,
yes.
you join Hell's Thank Angels you. And yes. you make some damn friends.
Thank you.
That's yep. what you do. Uh-huh. No, but clubs or the meetup app. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. There's
no.
a meetup Absolutely. App that tells you about
that
groups M-E-A-T? Meeting around the city. With-
yes.
Yes, okay, it's good. Where you go barbecue. <all around the city.
laughs> Perfect.
No, it's like the meetup app. You can like look up certain categories and you find like-minded people doing things around the city, activities that you want to do, and you meet other people
yeah,
who are looking
for friends. I always just tell people, because I don't know. I don't have any activities that I like to do, especially group ones. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. a tough one for me. All my friends have been made via like school. Friends of friends or work or school. So I'm bad at this. But yeah, just find like cycling. I know there's like cycling clubs and running clubs and right. yoga clubs and
For
like
sure.
video
Those
game
are all
meetups. So
things though.
True.
so
Which I
like
also
exercise.
Am not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
So I feel like once I move out of this city, I'm done with friends.
no Bingo. More.
I think it's kind of cool too. I think like you said, just kind of putting yourself out there. I know that it's easier said than done, but I think something as small as if you're studying or researching, maybe like leave the apartment and do it at Starbucks or somewhere. Just kind of getting outside. And we had a friend of ours whose son moved to St. Pete, and he was kind of in the same boat. And she told him, like, join whatever club fits your schedule. And so he joined a tennis club, even though he didn't play, and met
right.
some of his best friends. They taught him how to play, and now he's got, you know. And so I think getting over that first step of just, you know, hey, it's awkward at first,
yeah.
but put
just
yourself out
it.
There. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, and don't say True. No to things. If somebody asks right. you to do something.
Okay.
Except
no.
drugs.
Yep. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Still.
Or fake
well,
cops.
Say no to drugs.
Don't follow
or
fake cops.
In case it's a fake cop.
he does love the Yes Man, Jim Carrey movie. I think that's what he's referencing here.
That's what he's getting at. Jim made a lot of friends from doing that. So
with lifelong.
Oh, Zoe Deschanel, right? Deschanel?
Yeah.
Y'all probably bump into her at the dry cleaner.
All the time.
Every day.
I knew it.
We have the same bangs, so we get along.
That's true.
Ah, that's where I recognized y'all from. I was
yep.
like, something sisters. About her.
Gives me a real Zooey vibe.
Josh,
okay, my turn. If you could be invisible or never need sleep again, which one would you choose? I mean, this one's easy for me.
What would
because
you say?
If I could never need sleep, then I'd still have to be kind of quiet around because people are still around. But if I'm invisible, I can kind of sleep anywhere.
Yeah,
so,
true.
So you always want to sleep.
Yeah, well, I can go gain knowledge as an invisible person.
That's true.
I mean, hopefully I'm not always invisible because then you're just a ghost, right?
Right.
Well, yeah, I feel like you need to be able to turn it on whenever you want.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Like, never have to sleep again. Could I sleep again if I chose to? Because
yeah,
I love
I like
a good
sleeping.
Sleep, but I also... Yeah. You know, I have two full-time jobs. I would like Oof. To never sleep again so that I
work,
could
work, work.
Also have a life.
Wow.
But can you choose to sleep if you want to sleep?
I think so.
Stacy,
so.
In Miami, you really got to bring the question with some more details.
yeah, we're breaking the rules.
What's the paradox here?
Yeah, this one's terrible.
I would rather be able to go invisible.
You're blocked from listening to our
invisible.
Show anymore.
Yeah, Stacey's I'd rather be able to go
blocked.
Invisible.
Yeah,
why?
For sure.
Why would you be invisible?
Just because I think that you could have a lot of fun with it.
I think so too, but I also feel like that's part of the
Kevin
problem.
Bacon.
Is because when you say that, you're like,
Kevin
I want to be invisible because I want to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
Gross.
Then people are
you
like,
said it with like some sass.
Prank
well,
people.
That's what I'm saying. That's the vibe.
It sounds really
like.
Creepy.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Be invisible. Have a lot of fun.
I want to be invisible and just put myself out there. You know what I mean?
Go to clubs. Go to meetups.
Yeah, I just want to go dancing.
Oofa.
All right. Well, listen, thank you guys so much for sending in questions. We really do appreciate it. And
yeah,
it's
awesome.
Just awesome to hear from you guys. And
I actually, if I can.
Okay.
I know this is a collaboration.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to set my boys up here to look good.
Thank you.
So I've got a quiz question for all of us.
A quiz question for
all... It kind of plays to our strength as musicians.
Okay.
In 1989.
Uh-oh, this is before
Billy
me.
Joel. You still know music.
BC, bro.
BC.
BC.
Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire.
We didn't
smashing,
start the fire.
He smashed records. Every uh-huh. country.
Oh, yeah.
Billboard. If they didn't have a billboard, he built a billboard and he hit the chart. In that song, the lyrics range 50 years. They list 119 things. Now, my two friends here can name probably most of them. Easily. How many can y'all name?
Us? All of them.
You're talking about We Didn't Start the Fire.
List a lot.
I know the first lyric.
Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire. You know off the top of your head.
I think a good portion.
I feel like if I sang it in my head, I could come up with some.
I need to show my boys strength here, though. Can y'all want to start first and then let them take over?
I was always taught to let them go first, the ladies go first. So I was going to let you guys go for it.
Don't be too humble, boys. Y'all step in when you need
to. Are we collaborating? Is it girls versus boys?
I think
so. We're going to shout one out and you guys shout one back.
Okay. Well, then we'll go with the first lyric.
Okay, let's go.
All right,
Wayne, I can't condone what Wayne looking at his phone here.
Oh, yeah, Wayne, what are you doing?
I'm just trying to see what time it is. Down.
You're a liar. Put your phone away.
Harry Truman.
Face
Harry
down. Truman. You monster. Fine. North Korea.
I think, yeah.
Cameron? Is that a glow from your lap?
Richard Nixon.
Oh, my, is that a...
Eisenhower.
These two boys have glowing crotches. That's what I'm saying.
Throw your phones at the wall.
Look, we have no phones in our hands.
We're not cheating.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know this. I know the chorus, but I don't know
I'm counting
verse.
On you two guys to make us look good.
I know. You should have given us a heads up because I have no idea.
I'm not prepared.
That's the surprise.
Sing
Y'all are
head.
Musicians. You know every catalog. Okay. If they can name any more, then I guess they win.
Marilyn Monroe.
Liberace. Joe DiMaggio.
JFK, what else do I have to say?
There it is.
Rockefeller.
Disneyland.
Disneyland was in there.
I think they say vaccine.
Vaccine. Buddy Holly. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's like 10
James
at least.
Dean.
James. Yep. Oh, yeah. James Dean. Malcolm X.
Jeez. Do y'all just listen
H-bomb.
To this?
Is anybody fact checking
Bay of
this?
Pigs.
Bay of Pigs was in there. Alabama.
Arkansas. Yeah. South Korea's in there. Not at that part.
No. South Korea and North
Ooh,
Korea.
South
I have
Pacific.
A feeling that they do karaoke to this song.
Just
they
like
also
that.
Say hula hoops.
hula hoops. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
You too.
Okay, guys. I apologize.
We win.
No, that was really good.
I thought we were really going to make you look good here. I thought y'all were going to make us look good. You boys.
Can find the Keep It Weird podcast on the Meetup app for seeing cover Billy
Join
Joel
that
song.
Club.
Oh my gosh.
I love
Cotton
it.
Cotton candy,
okay. Something else.
I don't
they're
know the
going.
Order that they go
Me
in.
Just,
now you're just showing off, though.
It's a four-minute
sorry
song.
About it.
Done,
I know, sorry. I'm sorry.
We forfeit.
We're done.
The thing
it's
about
a really
it is,
long
I,
song.
I know the chorus song. Of that song, but I'm embarrassed. I don't, and the JFK part, I feel like
Let
I
Let me hear some of the chorus.
Something about not starting the fire.
That's the
was
name
it
of
always
the song.
Burning?
Was it always burning since the world's been turning?
That's all I got.
They just burned you on your own.
I know. That's all I got. we're gonna get Greg to fix the impost. It's gonna sound really good.
It's just gonna be a robot voice coming in like.
I love the icebreakers, and we definitely appreciate him. Josh is very creative when it comes to quizzing.
Yes.
Oh, Josh. Yes.
It was kind of planned.
Did you set us up?
It was... Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So the funny part about it was, is Josh doesn't realize this, but I'm going to let him in on something.
What?
He sent me a screenshot of some of the questions the other night, and the bottom part of the screenshot said, it'll be probably before I do the surprise icebreaker.
Oh, God.
You're the worst.
I don't like typing, so I screenshot. I'm not a good typer.
Josh, he ruined everything.
Well, he didn't know. He still didn't know.
I didn't. I didn't know what the surprise icebreaker was.
Forever so faithful still.
No, I did not know. Well, I promise. Cross my
heart.
It
was funny too, because Josh was like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. Are you familiar with the song? And we were both like, we know it.
Yeah, we're good.
Like, we already know this song.
We've been preparing our whole lives for this moment.
Glad you forget. I'm a musician too. Yeah. So you back up.
Come on.
We're obviously a better one.
We're backed off. Yeah, we're backed off.
High in our face, I guess.
We have been destroyed. Truthfully, Josh probably didn't share with you guys that he also plays the harp. Mm-hmm. He's very humble.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's an app on the iPad. It's an iPad harp, but,
but it's beautiful.
Y'all see it.
Still, I would like to hear it sometime.
The Renaissance Fair Circuit, and you can see him with his iPad playing the harp.
My corset. I'm busty.
Yeah.
Busting out.
I love it.
I would love to hear that so much.
I'll send you a pic. I can Photoshop it, I'm sure.
Heads up. So we have a story that we've been kind of cooking for a little bit. I guess you could say it's weird, right? We're going to keep
it that way, right?
Oh, keep it weird.
You see what happened?
I get it.
You see what happened?
Their name.
It's about a family called the Betts family. They're Florida natives. And on the surface, they seem like pretty much any other family. The father, Antoine, he was an engineer. The mother's name was Jerry, and she was an entrepreneur and an activist. And the son, Terry, was a pre-med student, right? So that's straightforward.
I love unisex names.
You love it.
Like Terry. Like Terry and Jerry.
Jerry. Stacey,
very traditional Tracy. Florida family.
Antoine.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. But towards the end of 1973, the Betts family purchased 88 acres of woodland just outside of Fort George Island, Florida. So this massive piece of property. And on the evening of March 26th, 1974, Antoine Betts receives this phone call that there's been a brush fire that started and it spread over a good chunk of his acreage.
Mm.
Right? So they're hanging out in the middle of the night. Someone calls, hey, Antoine, your land's on fire. You know how it happens. Right.
We got to answer old phone. In there.
Exactly.
Cameron,
so
you don't know what that sounds like.
Nope.
Overnight, the fire's put out, but the following morning, the family goes out to kind of see the damage, kind of survey everything and see what's happening. And so they inspect the property, and they don't find much. But on their way out, they discover this peculiar little polished metal orb, okay? It's completely smooth. There's no scuffs on it. And the only marking on it is this triangle that's been kind of etched on the top. And it's there, like, without damage. Like, it's beautiful. It's shining. Just, like, super smooth. And so, basically, the family is like, okay, could it be something from, like, a satellite? Maybe something from NASA fell out of the sky?
Yeah, they're in Florida, right?
Right. And, and maybe this started the fire, right?
Oh my goodness.
Nice. You see that?
See,
because they're like we didn't start the fire.
No,
wow.
But it was always burning.
It was
a lyric in the song.
It was always burning.
Betts family.
Yes.
Yeah,
I knew it. See,
they're one of the items.
It was the long con
inscription. I tried to join.
I know, but that was the issue. The issue was it couldn't have fallen from the sky because there was no impact crater. It was just kind of laying there.
Impact crater was my nickname in high school.
It really was. And there was no damage to the orb itself. They're all like, okay, it's unlikely it fell from the sky, but this whole land is kind of burnt to hell. And then there's just super clean, smooth orb here. And so they do what anybody would do. They take it home with them. They just
obviously.
Yeah, naturally.
Right. What's that game, that sport called? Shoulder toss?
Shoulder toss.
Shoulder toss.
So the orb was
shot put?
Shot put. Thank
there it is.
You.
Shoulder toss.
So the orb was about the size of a bowling ball, but it weighed 22 pounds.
Mm.
The family showed it off to some relatives and some friends, basically just trying to figure out like what it could possibly be. They had no ideas. And so basically it ended up on a windowsill in Terry's bedroom. Terry's the son. And so it kind of sat there for a couple of days until one night Terry decides he's going to bring home this girl named Teresa. Because he wants to impress her with his guitar playing skills.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought, sure.
Right. Yeah. So if you can't, if you can't see me, I just said quotations, air quotes. That means air we don't quotes. Believe them.
Here's Wonderwall.
Right, exactly.
We don't buy it.
So anyways, here's Wonderwall. But what's interesting is Terry and Teresa both claim that the moment he started playing guitar, mm-hmm. the orb began emitting this throbbing sound in response to the music.
That's a
right.
Not
Teresa, the orb. Whatever it is. The orb released a throbbing sound. Okay. So the orb starts making this noise. And so as the days went on, the noise doesn't stop. The dog's freaking out, right? It's making this kind of low hum.
Need some Brevard prisoners. Boom.
There you go. It needs to cut one. So what's interesting is the moment this started happening, it never stopped. So a bunch of weird stuff starts happening. A couple of days later, they noticed that the ball was moving on its own. The orb was moving on its own. Like, no one's touching it. It starts moving around.
There's no hamster inside this thing?
No. It's super solid.
Okay.
So when they put it on a table, it would roll, like, right to the ledge of the table, but never roll off.
Pool table?
Any table. It would just roll, like, to the edge of something and then kind of come back to the center.
And this is a 22-pound ball?
Right. So it was like it had a mind of its own. Like, it was aware of its surroundings.
Globe?
You could say that. And so they also noticed that it responded to like weather patterns. So on days when it was kind of dark and stormy, the ball would just kind of hum and make that spooky noise. Mm-hmm. But on days where the sun was out, it was constantly moving around.
And it would say, it feels like 117.
Yeah, exactly. On one instance, when it was really bright outside, the family said it moved for a solid 12 minutes on its own before returning to its resting place.
Yeah, at what point do you just move out?
Yeah, I don't.
Or just get rid of the
ball.
Or throw
it in the trash. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just going to move your garbage can across the kitchen, though. A 22-pound ball?
I just feel like the moment it starts making the humming noise and being weird.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm taking it back to the field, just dropping it off and being like, I'm sorry. You know, here it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 100%.
I'm putting it under my mattress for a nice little vibrate.
Princess in the pea situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
I can feel something under here. I must be a princess.
So what's interesting is when they kind of ran out of ideas and they're starting to get spooked, they decide that they're going to turn to the public. They feel like they're going to call some people, bring in the professionals. And so they call the Jacksonville Journal. That was the largest publication nearby.
Yep.
And the journal decides they're going to send a photographer out by the name of Lon Inger.
Oh, traditional.
Very traditional journalist name.
Traditional name, yeah. Lon Inger.
So Lon shows up. He's a skeptic right away because who isn't, right?
Right.
And he sees
it. That's healthy.
It's healthy, right. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. And so he sees it and he says that when they put the orb down in front of him, they encouraged him to give it a push. And so he did. He kind of gave it a nudge. Mm-hmm. And then Lon says that it rolled 4 feet away from him, stopped, turned around, and rolled back to his feet and stayed there. So this is the journalist from the Jacksonville Journal.
Yeah. Okay.
So now he's become a believer. He's no longer a skeptic. He goes back to Jacksonville. He writes the story and he publishes it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's like a media frenzy. Now people are freaking out because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a magic ball.
Yeah, it's out there.
Right. Yeah, because this is insane.
So reporters from the New York Times, the London Daily, there were journalists from Japan who came out. And they're all showing up on the Betts family property. Right, so these are some big names.
Well, they got
some,
like 88 acres.
I know.
So, yeah, they got room for everybody.
Plenty of room.
But the issue with all the media buzz is that it draws the attention of the United States military.
Of course. Mm. How can we strike weaponize this ball?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Put it in a cannon.
Exactly.
Shoot it at somebody.
So, I believe they were worried that it was like a Russian satellite or something. Wasn't that something?
Oh, it's like Sputnik.
That's still the fear with everything.
At some point in time, that's what they were saying, was that it could possibly be a piece from Sputnik.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, naturally, when the military gets involved, I'm like, I'm spooked at this point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think the Betts family, from what I can tell, they almost kind of had a piece about it. They're like, yes, please. Like, tell us what this is. Can you
just
help us?
Tell us what it is.
Right. So a spokesperson for the U.S. Navy, they tell the Betts family, look, give us 2 weeks to evaluate it. We're going to let our scientists look at it. And if we come to the conclusion that it's not harmful and it doesn't belong to the military, we're going to give it back to you.
Spokesperson's like low grade, though. They don't know nothing.
Well, and also,
I wouldn't trust them for nothing.
When the military says, just trust us, we're going to give it back to you, I almost feel like, no. That's not right. Mm-hmm. You're going to take it and
we're
put it in
murder
your collection.
You. That's what they mean.
Yeah, that's exactly. But funny enough, a 2-week period goes by and they do in fact return it to the Betts family.
I would be even more worried then. Okay. See,
my first, you don't want it? We definitely don't want it.
Yeah. My first reaction is they swapped it off. Like they swapped
it out. Oh yeah. They had it for 2 weeks and they were like, we x-rayed it. It's like, you took 2 weeks to x-ray it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no way.
Here's your sphere back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't swap it out with another sphere.
Why does it have 3 holes in it and have a bowling alley emblem on it?
It smells like paint.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't made out of Play-Doh before.
Exactly.
It's very soft.
What's interesting is the Betts family, they weren't quite happy with the government's answer when the government says, hey, there's no radiation. It's not an explosive. You can have it back. The Betts family was like, did you not listen to us? Like, it moves on its own. Like, this is really strange.
They're like, yeah, we got tons of those.
Right, exactly.
That doesn't impress us.
So they reach out to a scientist by the name of Dr. James Harder. Mm-hmm. And he's up from Chicago. He studies it. And then he holds this press conference in Chicago on June 24th, 1977. And he says that the internal components are not made of any known elements on Earth.
Perfect.
And that the atomic level, the atomic number is higher than 140, so it's basically an atom bomb.
What?
Okay. Cool. No wonder they gave it back.
Great.
Let's put it in the trash can.
Yeah, so the government says, hey, don't worry about it. You can have it back. James Harder says, this is going to blow up the whole country.
Jeez.
Right.
He also, who do you trust, though?
I mean, James Harder,
the government, they kind of both have pros and cons.
Well, the government's never steered us wrong before.
No. Mm-mm.
True.
So,
never.
What's interesting is James Harder also advised against trying to drill into it because he said it would either A, set it off and explode, or B,
make it really angry.
It would offend its extraterrestrial creators.
Oh,
wow. These are the two options? That's
so he's it? Going out and he's
you know,
going
Terry's
out and saying,
like, oh, crap, I already tried.
Yeah. Hence the triangle. Okay. But what's fascinating is shortly after this, the media attention kind of dies down. The Betts family kind of, I don't know, they just kind of lose interest, I guess, with the public knowing about it. There's not a whole lot from that point forward. But Ashley did some research and has some theories. Mm-hmm. She knows a whole lot more about it. So I'm going to let you take it away and just kind of see if we can guess what's happening
theories.
Here.
So the word that people use to describe things like the Betts sphere is an out-of-place artifact. Out-of-place artifacts are artifacts of historical, archaeological, or paleontological interest found in an unusual context. So, for example, do you guys know what the Baghdad Battery is?
No. Sounds fun. No.
So this thing...
My dad was a Baghdad Battery. Go
this
on.
Thing was found in modern-day Iraq. And it's been dated to around 224 AD. And it was a ceramic pot, a tube of copper, and a rod of iron, which seemingly is an object that would be used to create electricity. But that's crazy because that was a long, 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 long time before we even knew what electricity was.
Precisely.
That's super cool.
So why did they have this? We actually have an episode on our show called Pyramids, Coils, and Ancient Electricity, where we discuss whether or not ancient Egypt might have had working electricity and lights.
That's amazing.
And it's pretty wild.
There's actually a lot of evidence.
There's actually
to
a lot of evidence.
It might have. Yeah. Like that probably did.
So yeah, this object is something that no one has ever been able to definitively identify, and therefore it's known as an out-of-place object. There's a lot of other examples, like the Incas, for example. I think it was the Incas. Yeah, they had like little carved trinkets that looked just like modern-day jet planes, like even down to propellers and stabilizing tails and landing gears. And this is, you know, no one could possibly... No. And, you know, people say, oh, it's a bumblebee. It's like a bumblebee with a landing gear. Like, what's happening?
Right.
So the Betts sphere is a situation where you're looking at like an out of place artifact in real time. Like in the future, we may look back and be like, well, duh, that was this. Okay. But how did it get there?
Oh, OK. That's great. That's really cool.
I think we're all quiet over here because we're all just kind of like stunned that we didn't know these objects existed.
No, I've never heard of them.
Right. Yeah. There's a
I think we should be researching time travel at this point.
Well, they did already.
It's coming up on the show. Our next episode is on time travel.
It really is.
Yeah. What the heck?
So the Betts sphere there's no reason for us to have this technology. No one can definitively say what the heck this thing is and what its use could be. Like if it isn't. So one of the theories, there was this guy, he was a sculptor, and he said that he was transporting all these metal balls, these metal spheres to, I think it was New Mexico from Florida, and he lost several on the way. And it's like, well, first of all, how did you lose several 20 pound metal balls? And like, that is just not a big deal. And also the route that he took, it would have had to have rolled 25 miles. So it's like, oh, okay. Goodness.
So he's a liar.
Yeah. So that's not it. But if it isn't, if it isn't a spear from a sculpture and it is, quote, definitely not alien technology, then what is it? Like, why does it emit a low frequency hum? Why did it move on its own? Why would it vibrate? And it wasn't, like you said, it's not just witnessed by the family. Like, countless other people witnessed it. Journalists and family friends and scientists and military personnel witnessed it as well. Mm-hmm. And when the Betts family finally gave the sphere over to the Navy to analyze it, they came back, you know, they said, no, it's just a really high quality stainless steel ball. That seemed to be kind of the end of the story.
They were impressed. That's, they're like, this is high quality. Like,
we've had really this for nice 2 weeks. You have there. It took Congrats. 2 weeks to determine that this is just stainless steel. But when you look at supernatural cases, the main thing that you want to look at, like especially, you know, famous ones, is the family themselves. So we've already covered, like, okay. The Bettses, they're not quacks. They were sensible people. They were responsible citizens.
Entrepreneur.
Exactly.
Unisex names. All the things check out.
All of it.
Everything Med checks student. Out.
What? Med student.
Med student, too?
Terry was.
Med student.
Terry, see?
Jerry Betts, the matriarch, the mother, she actually ran for state representative in 1972. So, like, these are legit people.
Right.
Let's see. Basically, they had nothing to gain from perpetrating a hoax.
For sure.
They got cash flow.
Exactly. They've got money. Yeah. They have no reason. And it's not like this was something where it's like, oh, we're going to get all this positive attention from this. And that's really important to look at when you're looking at supernatural stories. And a good example, do you guys know who Barney and Betty Hill are?
No.
Okay.
Tell us.
We're not well educated.
We're a couple. You're not well educated in like the weirdest stories in the world. That's okay.
Yeah. The Inca jet fighter. Sorry.
How do you not know about this?
How do you not know?
But in so, basically everything else we are educated in.
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Barney and Betty Hill, like their story was the first widely publicized report of an alien abduction in the United States. And this was 1961, and Betty and Barney were an interracial couple living in New Hampshire in 1961.
Whoa.
So
they wouldn't want, sure, though.
They would not have wanted attention on themselves,
right.
Positive, negative, nothing. Like, they wouldn't have wanted, like, it wouldn't be a good idea.
And separated?
No. Yeah, yeah.
No. Exactly.
It wouldn't have been a good idea. So
that
lends credibility to their story where it's like, okay, but you have to think about like, what would they get out of it if they did fake this? If they were lying? And what would the end game be? Like if the ball was just normal?
They have to want to break up on a national level. Like, if we're going to break up, we got to break up big.
Exactly.
That was the goal.
I don't think that's never been a.
And even the Betts family, actually, you know, they didn't lose interest really as much as they were harassed for the rest of their lives. Man. They still to this day, the son who I don't believe we have his name, was it Terry? I think they had another son who was even younger, not the son that found the ball. A much younger son, he's spoken about it and said, you know, my family will not talk about it anymore.
Really?
To this day, Jerry, the mother, she's known as Jacksonville's like one of their greatest businesswomen, and she will not talk about it anymore. Although she does say that she knows where it is, which is kind of like
sneaky,
suspicious.
Girl.
Yeah.
I think anything with the word orb or globe or sphere comes up, and she gets immediately.
She's like, how do you know?
It. Yeah. So like Christmas decorations, she's like, oh, don't get those chrome ones. only colored lights and red balls on my tree.
Honestly, I mean, like you said, so many people saw it do the weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it, to me, just seems really suspicious. Like the moment the military gets involved, it's just like, okay, well, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just, that's odd to me that they would be like, here, you can have it back. Because yeah, I feel like even
agree.
If they, yeah, I feel like even if it was remotely, you know, I don't know, abnormal, they're just going to keep it.
Keep it as a paperweight.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
To make the trip back out there to give it to them is inconvenient.
Right.
So.
Right.
True. I mean, when I was reading the story, I was struck by the amount of times that it was attempted to get the sphere out of their possession. Like J. Allen Hynek, who was one of the founders of Project Blue Book, was that guy that you talked about who said it was an atomic bomb. It was one of his
James
colleagues.
Carter.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So he was working alongside Hynek, who I don't know if you know what Project Blue Book is, but it was basically like the Air Force's first UFO coalition. And
okay. We're well aware.
Yeah, for sure. So he was writing them. He was the one that was like, send it to me. And they were like, no, we're not going to send it to you. Like anything could happen. We're not going to mail this thing.
It's a bomb.
Yeah.
This bomb sent to you?
Don't. So the U.S. military wanted to take it from them, different scientists and physicists Mm-mm. claiming it was just an ordinary ball. And they were claiming this after they saw it move around. So it was just
strange.
That's how
you get it, though. If you see something really cool, you go, nah, that thing's a piece of crap, actually.
Yeah.
I'll take it off your hands.
It's fine.
And this wouldn't be the first time that people have collected evidence that they thought was supernatural, only to have the military or the government in some capacity come in and take it and never return it.
Yeah.
So.
Right. There's a precedent.
Yeah. There's a reason that these people, even in the 70s, were like, I think I will hold on to it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But even Antoine, he no longer talks about it. Right after this, they found it and it started behaving. He was super eager to talk about it. He was really excited. But then after, you know, they were harassed by the media. They were harassed by people in their town called them liars. They eventually had to move out of their home because they were just ridiculed. They were made fun of for having this like alien ball. So it's like, well, of course they don't talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
But no one knows where it is.
It's like a literal ball and chain that you're carrying around with you, which kind of sucks.
Come on.
It's a 22-pound heavy ball, and you're like, this thing, ugh. Tired of talking about it. Tired of carrying it.
It's weighing me down in all the ways.
In every way. I do have one more thing if you're interested in hearing it.
We are. We are.
This is kind of crazy. Interesting. This might actually be two different cases.
What?
So... Well, one supernatural and one paranormal. Because aside
the science?
From this...
Put the science
This
in
is
here,
the science.
No. Hashtag
and science. So aside from the sphere being a total weirdo, there was also reports from the Betts family of slamming doors throughout the house, hearing voices,
like
and hearing organ music play.
Spooky.
That's oddly specific.
That's and right, yeah.
Right? And the family always blamed the ball. They were like, oh, it's this ball is making this happen, but I actually think the house was also haunted.
Whoa.
Because I think it was cursed because I found some research on the house that they lived in. To this day, the Betzes were the only ones who ever lived in the house full time since it was built. It was built in 1927. It was the winter home of a Chicago realtor named Nettleton Neff, which is ridiculous.
That's not a name.
And he had the mansion built. The designer called the house his most unique design, but there was something that he didn't like. Even the designer was like, I don't like this house, and I designed it.
Hello.
So Neff's wife, Catherine, died in what the Chicago Daily Tribune called a mysterious fire at the Neff summer home in Michigan. In 1928, his 21-year-old son, William, disappeared from school. He was going to Harvard and was found 2 weeks later. He had hung himself in Connecticut. And then in April of 1931, having never even set foot in his Florida winter home, Nettleton Neff shot himself in the head.
What?
So basically, this house was built, and then every single member of the family that built this house died or killed themselves.
Cursed. Okay.
So I think that like maybe, that. Yeah, like part of it, part of me thinks like the Betts attributed the strange happenings inside the house to the sphere that they'd found at the site of the fire. But it could have been that like maybe they brought in an extraterrestrial artifact, mm-hmm. which amplified paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they brought in a like totally normal sphere that got like possessed by a poltergeist.
Right. Yeah. I'm or just not open sure. them up to being cognizant of it.
Well, true.
I was going to say. The ball's normal. It's just hanging out. And then now you got this like demon who's like, hey, check this out. He's pushing it around the house.
Like Cameron and his invisibility.
Yeah, it's me and my
putting spins on the ball.
Invisible powers.
Having some fun or whatever he said.
Yeah. Well, do you think, though, like that the sphere contributed to the forest fire, the brush fire that happened?
Man, I don't know. I mean, it is, you know, how do you guys have a lot of brush fires out there? Because California, there's a fire every other week. So it's kind of like, no,
we're so humid and damp down here.
True.
It's so wet.
Oh, yeah. So that is kind of weird then, right?
Yes, it is.
Because in my mind, I think I kind of like imagined it kind of coming through like a cannonball. Nice. Miley Cyrus style,
like a wrecking
setting
ball,
everything on fire.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was no impact crater, right? So they felt like it kind of ruled that out. But if it's extraterrestrial, and it could have, so it could have been a controlled descent. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, so it didn't have to be. It didn't have to just crash land,
like a free fall, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing is just kind of weird to me. But I think the one thing that I can walk away, like for me personally, I definitely think the military kept the real one and gave them
me
that
too.
Fake one.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, me too.
There's no, like Josh said, it's not worth the time for them to even drive out there and return it.
Yeah.
Unless they're trying to maintain some kind of like trick.
Because if all the press was there, then.
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. It would look super shady if the military kept it.
True. They got to walk up and be like, here, we've brought it back to you. It's the same one. See?
Everything's fine.
Here's your garbage aluminum ball back.
And here's your tin foil.
Family, I mean, they have an atom bomb dropped on their back property and their house is haunted. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know.
Not good luck for the Betts family.
No.
Rough times.
They had everything going and good in their life. Engineers and good careers. Well,
they just bought 80
haunted
acres.
House.
True.
Yeah, clearly haunted they house. Were doing well.
Yeah. Wayne and I were talking about it earlier. We were talking about like, okay, if the ball is still in their possession, like what are they doing with it? And I like to think that it's like the family dog now.
Yeah, and they're like, come here.
Yeah, and they've like trained it. It's like Alf. It has like a personality and it's just
at the dinner
like,
table.
Smokes cigarettes and drinks coffee.
I like him.
It went far for me.
No, I love it. But what if, okay, this just happened, so bear with me. But what if it is extraterrestrial or military and it's got like radio signals or some kind of like radio capability? Mm-hmm. And that's the organ they were hearing. If they were like hearing music and maybe it was like, because sometimes like if an amplifier is not grounded properly, you'll pick up a radio station nearby.
Yeah.
Oh, totally could be.
We got some knowledge.
So like what if that... Yeah, I don't memorize lyrics, but I do know a lot about extraterrestrial balls. So, like,
that's right.
No, but so who knows? But I like to think that the military is still sitting on it, and maybe it was like one of their like experimental weapons. It got out, and they're like, "Oh crap, Larry, you let."
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
I like to imagine it also hanging out with the family, but it's like a speciesist, so it's smoking. But it hates humans. So it's like humans ruining the earth, ruining the galaxy. That's how I like to imagine it.
By the way, you've got a demon in your house.
You're so inefficient with your skin bags. Why don't you evolve into a big chrome ball like me?
I love it.
Oh, that's a good character.
It's been so fun. And I feel like, honestly, we said it earlier, it's such an honor having you guys here.
The OGs, the original.
The OGs, the original paranormal, true crime.
We don't want to go through your whole thing. We could. We know it verbatim also.
Of course. Right. Yeah, we know you do.
Yeah, thank you.
But yeah, so we definitely appreciate you guys. And,
absolutely.
We're excited.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Absolutely. And we hope that everybody heads out to check them out. Can you guys kind of roll the red carpet out for your social media? And how can we find your stuff, your episodes, all of your
For sure.
Materials?
We are Keep It Weird. And obviously we're on pretty much everything. We're on iTunes, Spotify, Libsyn, TuneIn, Google Play, Podbean. And our social media is super easy. It's just at Keep It Weird Cast. And that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook's just facebook.com/keepitweirdcast. We're pretty easy to find.
Yep.
Nice.
Awesome. So you heard it here first. Go check them out. Seriously, send them all your love for everything spooky, science, paranormal, and weird.
Nice.
And you know if you ever I was just going to say, if you ever have any strange stories yourselves, send them our way. You can send us a direct message. We always like to tell people's spooky stories podcast.
We do listener ghost stories, and they are our best episodes.
Legit, very scary episodes. Yeah. So
send us your
Josh would love it.
Yeah, I'm already getting antsy. I'm like, okay, let's wrap it up.
Get out of here.
Getting late now. Getting late.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we love you and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our very first crossover episode. We were so thrilled to join Florida Man on Florida Man via Skype in their studio in Florida. We've been huge supporters of each other's shows for months now, and they've got one of the funniest indie pods out there right now. So make sure you check out more of their show. Every episode starts with some Florida Man headlines, which I know you guys love, and ends with a wild and crazy Florida story. And it's just, it's a blast. Follow these guys on Instagram at FMOFM Podcast and their Twitter, which is also at FMOFM Podcast. And tune in for our next episode where we will be discussing time travel. Keep it weird, guys. We'll see you soon.
Trust me, I'm a cop. Follow me.